You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hi, and welcome to The Compass, the podcast documenting the struggles of life as an artist. I'm Leah Walsh. My guest today is Amanda Sykes. Amanda is an incredibly talented actor, a hilarious and intelligent human being, and I'm so glad she was open to coming on the podcast. We've known each other since we were 18-year-old freshmen at the University of Evansville. I'm very grateful that we are still friends here in New York. It's a really special thing to have old friends around you in this city. So I hope you enjoy the third episode of The Compass. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Leah. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thank you for coming over.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I knocked it.
It's okay. All right. So the place I like to start is, how do you keep yourself from going to the dark side as an artist?
Oh, that's a fun question. I try to do a lot of reading and seeing a lot. I remember when I was in graduate school, there was one particular semester that was very challenging for me. And I went to the dark side a lot in class, which is really the classiest way to go about it, just publicly for all to see. And
no, but in grad school, that's kind of...
Yes.
That's the time to
I
do
know,
it.
But it does still feel gross. Like, you go home and you're like, why did I do that in front of everybody that I know?
Right.
But my teacher at the end of the semester, which happened to be a second, said, I really think that you should take this summer and go see as many beautiful things as possible. And I thought that was like, at first I was like, yeah, okay, so you're at a museum, right? Okay, get it. You know, like I kind of just like shrugged it off. And then like a week later I was sitting and I was so bored in my apartment and I was like working a probably awful job. I don't even remember what I was doing that summer, but I was like, I'm going to go to one event, like artistic event every week. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I came back from that summer and I was like, it was the best semester I've ever had. I was like, it's fine. There's so much beauty in the world, you know? And so every time I start to get like overwhelmed by the fact that maybe my career isn't heading in the direction, or at least not as quickly as I'd like it to, I try to be like, how long's it been since you've seen a play? Or how long's it been since you've gone to a museum or, like, seen a new band or, you know, just taken a walk in a park or something. So that's one of the ways that I do it. I think it really helps me.
Well, it's really concrete.
Yes.
Which I like.
It's very active and concrete, and it's something that I am in control of, which is what my career is not providing.
Exactly.
I mean, ever. Even if it were working out exactly as I planned it, I don't think I would still be in control of it.
Not in this area that we've chosen to go into.
Right.
Can I ask, you don't have to go into like super detail, but I realized maybe the dark side is different for everybody. Mm. And maybe what you're referring to is the dark side is something different for someone else. So
yeah,
I mean, you don't have to go deep into it, but what does that look like for you?
Well, that's a great question. It's funny because I've been talking with one of my close friends about it recently, who's a little bit older than me and, is having like exactly the same struggles. And sometimes I feel guilty about complaining about where my career is when he's pursuing the same career and he's not significantly older, but years. I mean, and then I'm like, well, we're all still doing it. And like age is irrelevant really at a point, especially I think with performers. But, I think that Because the reason why I brought him up is because our dark sides are very different. I mean, I think that I get profoundly sad. Yeah. I get aimless is maybe a better way. And I just like, I mean, there are days, and of course, I think this would be different if I were, say, independently wealthy and like not having to work a job or something. Not that
a lot of things would be different. If that was true.
Yes. Not that like money buys happiness, but I don't mean it at all like that. But if I weren't having to work a separate job, it would be a little different. There are just days when I just like sit on my couch for 7 hours and watch television. And those are that if I've done that like more than one day in a row, I'm like, oh, there's something wrong because I've just like could be doing so many things.
Right.
Like there's always something that I could do. So I could write a journal entry, like period, mm-hmm. that's it. And that would be something. But if I'm just like indulging my like
You're like, okay, I need to do something to get out of this.
Yeah.
Are you a writer?
No.
Is that something you've like turned I know like people always tell me you should be writing your own work, you should be creating your own opportunities, and it's not something that my writing has ever turned to.
Yeah, I am not a writer at all. I do not journal. In fact, I always have kind of resented being asked to journal because I think that that's like, I'm like, but wait a minute. Like being asked to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's amazing that people do it. But I'm like, when people in school or whatever, like any school, are like, you should journal about this. And I'm like, I don't want to write about it. I'll remember it if I need to. but no, I mean, I want to write, but I have literally never written anything except for like a class once where it was required. I don't know. I feel like I'm better reading other people's words.
No, I mean, I think as actors, that's what we want to do. We want to interpret other people's work. But when we're all struggling like this, so many times people suggest that, oh, you should be creating your own work. And it is frustrating when you feel like I don't know how to develop that skill, or I don't feel drawn that way.
Yeah. I like really want to. I feel like I have had one play in my head that I wanted to write for maybe like 6 years now, and I have never put pen to paper about it. I don't know why I can't pull the trigger. Like, I even have the whole first scene in my head, like, visually. It's like I want to direct the play in my head, but I don't want to write it. Does that
make sense? You need to bribe a friend who writes.
I know, that's what I do.
With baked goods.
I should do that. I'm like, I will make you dinner.
I'll make you dinner and you write me this play. I'll give you the idea.
Yeah. So maybe that's...
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's really strange. I think it's like half too specific and half not specific enough. But I think I do want to write, but I really do. That's something that I need to like self-motivate about. And sometimes I'm really bad about it because it's not because I'm maybe going to the dark side, but it's just because I'm like, I don't want to be aware of being bad at something again.
Right.
Like I'm like, I'm 32. I've done being aware of being bad at something.
Yeah.
But that's not, there's no way to learn if you don't fail at, you know, a little bit.
No, but when you have high standards, it's hard to like do something and feel like you're not reaching them, even though it's your first time. So of course you're not going to reach them.
I'm like, well, this 5-sentence paragraph is terrible. Yeah. I just feel like I'll put it aside and not work on it again for another year.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you do for your quote-unquote day job or money job?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a day job.
Oh, yeah. My night job. I'm a lady of the night, not in the way you'd be thinking. I am a bartender at a local bar in my neighborhood in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And it is...
Because how long have you been doing that now? Several years.
Yeah.
At that place.
That is another... If you want to talk about dark side, this is the thing that has been happening for me lately. I love my... Like, seriously, the people there are very supportive of what I do. They have let me leave to do multiple shows. They have come to see my shows, which is amazing. I can basically, unless it's like a day before, get any shift covered to do something related to my career. That said, if you had told me that 2.5 years after I ran to this job interview for a bartending job in like the pouring rain, that I would still be there, I would be like, huh, shut up. No way.
Yeah.
And part of it is like the dream of an actor to get a job that lets you leave. But then the problem is, at least for me, I like change, which is one of the reasons I like theater, is because things are always changing. You're always learning new things. You're always doing something different. You're always, you know, researching different people and being around different people. And when you work at a bar, and no shade against these people, again, I have to make that very clear, but particularly a bar that is packed full of regulars every night, mm-hmm. it gets a little overwhelming because you're like, why? But then I think, like, that's their version of home. And, like, I have right. my version of home, too. Of people, community home, not physical. But
right.
so I have to, like, try to remember that everyone's versions of that are, you know,
right. But their for own. You, it's your workplace, so it's yeah. odd.
And it's tough because they're a lot like, I've always thought of it like families who don't really understand the like theater world mm-hmm. where they're like, oh, we're just happy. When's your next thing? And they are, it's really great that they care and no matter what, but, the questions about like, when is your next thing get really like, especially when there's alcohol involved because it's like repetitive by nature anyway, mm-hmm. but then you're like, oh my God, I don't have it. But someday I just want to come in and just tell everybody that I decided to be like a, I don't know, like that I'm going to go work on a farm and like I just throw it all away and
just
find another bar in the city and not tell them or Aww. Something. No, I'm kidding. That's terrible.
No, I understand that.
Yeah, it gets a little.
How is it with your real family with that kind of stuff? Like how do you, I know they're very supportive of you.
Yeah.
From what you've always told me, but...
Yeah, they are very supportive.
They're not artists themselves, right?
No, although I was raised with a lot of art. Sometimes I think they're, like, closet artists. I mean, my mom's a musician.
Okay.
Like, she is a professional handbell ringer. I don't know if I've ever told you that.
She's a professional?
Yeah, like, she has CDs.
I did like not in a group know of that.
People. Yeah, I'm very, like, people, like, kind of laugh. I'm, like, super proud of my mom
I've
about
known
that.
You for 14 years, and I don't think I've ever known
I mean,
that.
I guess it's something that, like, it's kind of weird to, like, bring up in conversation. Like, oh, yeah? Well, yeah, my mom is, like,
Incredible.
Legit. I mean, that's not what she did to pay her bills,
okay.
to be clear. But
yeah.
But
some of your bills.
She's done, like, legitimate concerts and stuff and gotten yeah. paid to record and stuff like
Amazing.
That.
Amazing.
No, but my mom was, she did, like, editing for early childhood education textbooks mm-hmm. for a long, long time. And she's since retired, which we're very happy about because she's going to get to have so much fun finally. And now my sister's pregnant, she's going to get to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
And my dad is a lawyer, but I think that he always... really wanted to be a professor, which I still kind of put in the arts category because I think you have to have a mind like that.
Yeah.
And he's like the person who got me interested in movies, really. I mean, like acting, because I was like watching, you know, black and white films when I was like 6 instead of cartoons and stuff like that. So I think that, and they're really, yeah, they are like genuinely supportive.
But is it hard to communicate to them, like, what this life that you're trying to lead is or what the reality of it is?
I don't know. I think not. It's weird because, like, in their communication, it would seem that my mom is more understanding and my dad is less with the words that they use. Mm-hmm. But actually, my mom doesn't get offended if she listens to this. I feel like it's the opposite. Like, my dad is confident. He has no fears about it, but he's older and his health has been poor, and I think he's worried that he won't see it. So that's where, like, sometimes now when
There's
we're talking,
like
he'll be
issue.
Like, well, I just hope it happens soon. And I'll be like, oh, God. Dad. And he doesn't mean it like TikTok. He just means it like he really hopes it happens soon.
Right.
Like, genuinely.
And he believes that it will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And my mom is just a little more like, she does that, you know, moms do it. Sorry, moms, but they, that like.
Love you, moms.
No, it's, I'm not trying to push. I just wanted to know what, you know, and I'm like, I would tell you. I've always told you when something good
is. I'm not going to hide it from you if something great happens.
I'm not like, surprise, I'm starring in a television show. Yeah. It shot last year. So, yeah, I think that sometimes their way. But I really do actually believe that they understand. And I think it's partly because I have, they know all the stories of my friends. And everybody's at such different levels that they've really, or not levels is a terrible word, but like at such different stage in their progress or interests that it's like they're finally getting like, oh, it really is different. And it's like, I mean, it's so different.
And it could happen to anyone at any time.
Yeah. And like, I think I finally used the right words with them like a year ago or something. I was like, it's just that everyone's version of success is also different. And that needs to be clear for me, for them, because I'm like, I don't want to be famous. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't turn it away at the door if it knocked. But like, I don't have any, I'm not going like, I want to be the next, you know, Meryl Streep. I just want to work all the time as an actor and not have to bartend or have to do something else. And once I kind of like really got that through their heads, I think that they have been a lot better about, excuse me, like, no, you know, asking more specific questions instead of like, these vague, like,
yeah.
I just wondered if anything new was happening lately. Like, no, I mean.
I think that is what's hard for a lot of families to understand.
I mean, that is like my ultimate goal, I think. Yeah. I don't really care. I was about to say, I don't care how that happens. Then I was like, I mean,
actually,
I have some standards. But yeah, I think one of the ways that I was trying to help my mom is she was talking about a movie that she'd seen that had Richard Jenkins in it. And exactly, that face
Richard
is like
Jenkins.
Exactly the face that you would have when you say the name Richard Jenkins. Because you're
Do
like,
I
it
know
seems
him?
Familiar. Well, right now, of course, I'm not going to be able to think of any. He's been in a bajillion movies.
Okay.
And he is fantastic. He's a fantastic actor. And he's one of those actors where I'm just like, oh, he just gets it, man. Like,
no, and
this
you
guy.
See his face and you know him, but obviously
you
don't know his name.
And my mom was like, he's been in so many things. I like him so much. And I looked it up. Or she was like, he looks so familiar to me. And I looked it up and he had been in like, you know, 175 credits on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. And I was like, see, there... That's exactly what I'm talking about. Not everybody knows his name.
And he can probably walk down the street just fine and live his life.
He has made his entire career working as an actor and remaining. So, see, it's a different level of... Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, I get it. I get it. And I was like, good. That is like... I think my goal would be to be like a person who works all the time, but no... Like, people go, I think I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really fun.
That's what Frankie and I always say, too. Yeah. I think that's the goal.
It's a great goal, and I think it's doable.
How do you, because I struggle with this, how do you deal with, like, not putting too much pressure on the success thing? Like, it's great to celebrate, like, if you get a job or if you get, like, obviously that's a positive thing, but in reality, dealing with the day-to-day, oh, you're supposed to go to an audition and then just forget about it, go on to the next one, and, like, that's the advice everybody always gives you. And I find that's hard, not to put that pressure on yourself of, like, really wanting it and being disappointed, even though I know that leads me to the dark side a lot of the time, is I'll put too much excitement or pressure behind it, and then...
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I definitely do that. I think the other thing there is, and I don't know how this has been for you recently, but I am unrepresented, and so my auditions are so few and far between that I have no choice almost but to put weight on everyone, because we're... begets work, right? So it's like, if you're not working, it feels like you're not going to work more.
Right.
So every time, it's a big deal. That's a I don't know. I think that I have a mental breakdown. I do. There'll be like,
I feel like you have to talk yourself out of it in circles. You feel it, and then you talk yourself out of it. You feel it, and you talk yourself out of it.
Yeah, I mean, there was a... I had this audition recently, and I got, like, 2 callbacks, and I got an email, and it was for, like, a really reputable theater in New York, and it was, I was like, they had to send me the email saying that I was a contender because I didn't have an agent to have that email sent to.
Okay.
And it was like through a big casting company, and I was like, oh my God. And I was like, I held on to it. I mean, like, it was a month later, and I was still like, it's starting rehearsals in a week, but maybe. Like, I couldn't let it go. I was like, I can't believe I really had, like, I was like, I had it. I got
it. Right.
I had it. And I didn't. And that was a hard one. But it was weird because I, like, went through, I guess it took a long time to cast anyway. So I had, like, taken about 2 weeks to talk through it with everybody that I knew where I was like, I mean,
it's still good. A possibility. It's totally.
And then I was like, all right, it's done. And I was like, I just started to like read a lot of plays and like started working on new monologues and stuff like that to like put it out of my head. And I did. And then I went to do something else. And I found out a friend of mine was also a contender for that project. And he hadn't heard either. And he was like friends with the artistic director and had texted him and been like, and they hadn't cast it. And I was like, no. Oh my God, no.
They
like,
still so hadn't cast it?
So I went through it all again.
Oh no.
And then like a week later, they put the post up. Like it was like in Broadway World or whatever. And I was like, I had to go, or Playbill. I had to go through it like all again emotionally. I was like, I can't believe that I had like actually convinced myself that this theater wouldn't call me to tell me that because they would have.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like Broadway was knocking, but it was like the next best thing. And I was like, they're going to tell the people in this right. show, you know? Yeah, that was a hard one for me. And that's what I always say to my boyfriend because, you know, he's not a performer and he is also an artist, but he doesn't do it for his daily. And so it's like, he sees me go through these things and I just like, if I had 5 auditions a day, like some of these people that I see when I like periodically go out for commercial auditions or whatever.
Yeah.
And I see
some of
people,
our friends.
Yeah. And they'll be like, on to the next one. And I'm like, how lucky for you. You know, like I just don't even know what to say. Then I'd be able to put them out of my head easier because
that's how I feel too.
Yeah. But like, I don't have that luxury right now. So I think it's okay to care because if you don't, then.
I mean, I think the thing I'm thinking of, my friend Colin always says to me is like, you can't put your happiness in this career stuff because it's never like half more than, you know, 80% of the time, it's not going to give you anything back. You have to put your happiness in the people in your life and your friends and your family and like just let that stuff go by. But I also can't say that like if I got some big TV role then tomorrow that I wouldn't be over the moon about it.
Oh yeah, no, I would be.
But it's hard when you're like when your mood can vary so widely from audition to the audition. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know that I have found the, like, the balance in that one yet. I wish that I had, but I find that I'm, like, because I'm a little in love with acting. Like, I mean, truly, like, sometimes I worry that, like, because, you know, I've always been a person who's like, I'm not gonna get married, I don't wanna have a family, blah, 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 and I'm like, I very much love my boyfriend, and I'm looking forward to spending most of my life with him. If it'll have me. But like, I know that if I like booked a job that required me to move to Australia tomorrow, I would do it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, we'll figure it out. It's going to be good, you know? And I think he knows that, which is a great, like, I'm just like, I'm in love with this other like thing that isn't like tangible. And that's weird because I mean, that is, like, that's why I think Dark Side creeps up, because it's, like, a big old love affair, and you just, you know, well, the highs are high and the lows are low, like any relationship, right?
Well, the hard part is that, as an actor, you usually just don't have the control over it.
Right.
Someone else has the control to tell you if you get to do it or not, which is maddening.
Oh, it's infuriating sometimes. And, I've been very scared lately about this, like, thing that's happening with they're talking about all how social media, there was like a, I don't know, I'm not on Facebook a lot, but like this whole idea about social media affecting whether you can book jobs as an actor. And then like recently, like today, there was one about how some casting person said something, maybe it wasn't casting, I don't want to get it wrong, and
like that one day we'll have to list our Instagram followers on our resume, right? Basically.
And then there was another one that was like, talent is 7% of how I cast people, and I was like,
oh,
I am a person who believes that talent should be like 97%. Like, what is the what is the 93% then, I guess, is what I'm like, I'm trying to think of all the things that could, so like personality, looks, temperament. Like, I'm just trying to, like...
I know. Those things what don't are the, add up yeah. to that much.
So that scared me because I was like, well, so really, that's the only thing that I'm... I mean, I'm not even in control of that, really. It's like a mixture of, like, inherent traits and, like, learned stuff from, you know...
Skills
and... But, like... So what is the tell me what the 93% is, because I have no idea. And like, as a person who's kind of linear and like wants to be in control, I'm like, that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I was that headline. I was like, what do you mean? So that's what makes me a little anxious. And as a non social media person, I'm like,
yeah, me too.
So I'm never going to work is what you're telling me, because
I have friends who are very, very successful who go both ways. You are either not on any social media.
Yeah.
I know. Hit some lucky stone, yeah. But it is terrifying too. to read those articles.
I think but that's like fear mongering too. Like, I think that sometimes people just just put that stuff up there so that people will be like, I'm not gonna be an actor anymore. It's and then true. That actor who wrote that article was like, one more falls off the, you know. That'd be funny. I'd have to give that person props, actually.
So how long have you been in New York now? 7 years?
It's 7 years last month.
Yes.
I moved on, I think, the 6th of July, 2008.
Do you think you're going to stick around here?
I do. I really like it. I mean, in my perfect world, I'd be bi-coastal.
Yeah.
But I mean, in my perfect world, I'd have like a home in, you know, the south of France. So whatever. Baby steps. But yeah, I really love New York still. It was funny. One of my friends recently, who is a musician, like, is moving to, like, West Virginia or something. Oh, I'm a great friend that I can't remember where they're moving. But I really, like, it's totally escaping me. Richmond, maybe, or something. And it's just like, you know, the magic of New York has kind of been lost for me and whatever. And that has not happened to me yet. I just, and maybe it was because of, again, like that teacher telling me to find, because there's so much fun stuff to do in this city. And I have so many amazing friends here. And I know that for me, like Brett mentions this a lot, where he's like, I mean, your friends are like your blood. Because I realized that it's like a really special thing. Like, even, I mean, people talk about this all the time, but it's like, I really don't know what I would do if I didn't have my friends here. I would be very, dark side would be a whole different thing for me if my friends weren't around.
And it's unusual that we have so many friends from undergrad who are all here together.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really good for me, I think, emotionally. And it's nice because people are always doing new and wonderful things. We've got musicians, we've got podcasts, we've got dance, like... Miranda's doing, like, she is a company member for, like, a children's dance theater. When did that happen? When did our friend become a modern dancer?
Yeah.
You know, like, that to me is really exciting. And I feel like it could happen other places, but since it isn't, I'm, like, good here. And that's another thing. I was thinking when you were talking about, when we started, about, like, how do you not get there? I mean, part of it is, like, I feel a little guilty that I keep bringing it, or bad that I keep bringing it back to money, but I think having enough money to live a happy life in an apartment that I like with my boyfriend whom I love, and like have the time to pursue what I love even while working, has been very helpful for not making me for not making me depressed or, yeah. Or whatever word, heavy is kind of how it always feels to me, but stagnant, because when I first moved to the city, I had a really rough, like, 2.5-3 years. And it was when I moved and, like, found a place that I loved and, like, really, like, getting that job that I spent 10 minutes complaining about was, like, game changer for me. Because all of a sudden I was, like, in a financially stable place instead of, like, living, you know, paycheck to paycheck. I, like, saved a little. Right. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is so amazing. I can, like, spend some time. So that helped me a lot. The last few, like, 2 or 3 years have been very different for me than my first 2 or 3. So I don't remember the middle. I think it was a weird middle period where I'm right. like, I'm going to put that, take that out of the
time
equation.
Time has passed. Yeah. Like, time passed quickly, and now here we are.
That said, I am a little bit lazy in my personal artistic pursuits when someone is, say, not handing me an audition. Right. I have a hard time creating my own thing to do.
Yeah, that's really tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just starting with this podcast, but I have to say it feels nice to have something that I can do by myself.
Right.
With one other person and then sit at my computer and make it into a thing. Right. And, like, have yeah. control over it. But I haven't had that for the last 5 years, so it's a new thing.
Right. That's a good thing.
Is there a project in the last couple of years that you've worked on that you want to tell me about, you're really proud of?
Oh, my. Well, I was... it's really dumb, but I was really proud of my Birchbox commercial because...
It's not dumb. I'm enjoying seeing you on TV.
I'm actually not that, like, I'm like, every time it comes on, I'm like, oh, God. Because I'm not like, I did great work in that, like, whatever. But it was really good for me because it was the first time, because I know I don't always adapt well to new situations. It takes me a little bit of time to, like, ease in. I mean, you know that from, like, working with me. Like, I'm always a little, and I think I get a little, but I remember being like, I've never been on set before, and I had never shot anything. And mm-hmm. so I was like, I mean, I guess I was like an extra in something, but it didn't matter. I just had to sit there. But it was really exciting because I remember being like, I am not going to ask any questions unless I absolutely have to. I'm just going to pay attention. I'm going to keep my ears silent coyote. You know, I'm going to, like, mouth closed, ears open. And I'm going to just let people tell me what to do. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to see how it goes. And it went out beautifully. And it was, like, really fun. And everyone was super nice. And I was really proud of my, like, the experience of, like, being open to something new.
Right.
That was exciting for me because I'm not always that way. So that was...
And you were shooting on the street, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Which is totally different.
It was so weird.
It was really... Have you gotten your first residual check yet?
It was a non-union commercial.
Oh, okay.
So it's like one... Although I had to... I actually do get another paycheck because it was weird. We had to, like, sign something for, like, a 30-second... a 60-second, but then they ended up doing a 15-second one for the internet, so we got paid extra, which was rad. Oh, nice. So I haven't gotten that yet. I'll consider that residual, and I'll call you and let you know when it okay. happens. I'm like, I got my 150 or whatever it is.
Well, hopefully they'll be like, we need a new commercial in 6 months. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
They're like, nobody plays 50s Avon lady like you do. yeah, so I guess that would be it because it was new and I didn't like... freak out or act like a fool. You never know. You're like,
you never know how you're gonna feel in the moment.
I mean, like,
it can be overwhelming.
I mean, it's very intimidating to do something you've never done before.
I remember the only commercial I've ever shot was for this auto insurance, and it was in a soundstage and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was fun, and it was a very positive experience. But at one point, I was, like, describing how great the auto insurance company was. Sure. They, you know, they do this for you, do this for you. And I was, like, shaking my head. And it was like an instinctual thing, like, maybe, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that this company so takes care right. of me so well. And the director came up to me. He's like, the money guys are sitting back there watching the monitors, and they're like, they don't want to subconsciously have a negative thought about their product. Like, you shaking your head, I understand the impulse, but it's like a subconscious, like, negative thing.
Interesting. All right.
And for some reason, it was so hard for me to not
You're like
shake my head. Like, this little bit, and it was just the weird, like, I fixated on it. It was a weird thing, because it was the first time I've been on a set. It was the first time.
Sure.
And it turned out fine, but it was like.
Oh, that's really.
These little things that you don't think would ever be an issue.
Yeah. Mine was, it was an easily fixable thing that wasn't quite so, like a behavioral inherent thing, was that first take on the commercial, she was like, great, that was great, you don't have to talk so loud. It's like,
story of my life. Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
But it was a really funny thing. So I was like, I'm an actor. So I'm like, it was just like, there was a mic on me. I'm okay. Like, right. I didn't need to do that. That was a really interesting experience. Also, you're on the street. So you feel like you have to do that, you know?
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yell down the street. You don't have to, because there's a mic next to your face.
Are there any specific, like, books or pieces of music or, like, movies that you turn to when you need, like, a pick-me-up artistically? Like, things that you reread or...
Strangely, I go to... I wouldn't say that there's something... I'm trying to decide if that's true or not. Because there are books I think when I'm feeling down, I always go to, like, the things that make me feel better. So it's not necessarily, like, artistically related.
Mm-hmm.
So When Harry Met Sally,
love it.
Strangely, the book Anna Education is like one I love this book so
much.
I've
only seen the movie. I need to read it.
I mean, it's like this big. It's just like, I don't know, 115 pages, and there's something about it. I love it so much. I would highly recommend it. And it's like, I don't even know why. I cannot explain what it is about this book that makes me go like, yeah. It's just something so
succinct. I feel like When Harry Met
it.
Sally is very clear, because it's a very, like, New York positive movie.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a beautiful movie in all sense, but it also, like, makes you feel really good about living in New York.
Yeah. That one. What else do I reread a lot? I mean, basically anything. What I do. Oh, my God. I was just thinking about, I was going to say anything by John Irving. I pick up a John Irving book anytime I'm feeling down, which is funny because it's not exactly the most positive stuff all the time, but it's just so beautifully written that you're like, okay, fine. Somebody knows how to do something and it's good. And music. I always listen to Andrew Bird when I am feeling, because he's the best. So, and Floyd. I find myself really, I get a little trippy when I get down. Like, I'm like, I should smoke weed, and which I don't. But, like, the part of me is like, I need to get.
Right.
Yeah. And then I always, I mean, ultimately what it comes down to is I try to laugh.
Yeah.
Because if I am, so I will, like, find any comedy movie to, like, that is special to me and watch. But that's. Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good... I don't think I've ever thought about it. I'm, like, figuring it out as you ask me.
And then my other question is there anything you've... like, any shows you've seen in the last month or so that you want to recommend?
There are a lot of things I want to see right now. Like, And I think that I'm excited about, like, Noises Off is coming back to Broadway.
Mm.
And the cast is extraordinary. And I'm very excited because I think it's going to be really joyful. And it's, preview night is the day before my birthday, so I'm gonna try to make that a thing.
Nice.
I really want to see John. Yeah, and I really want to see Fun Home.
Me too.
And Hamilton.
That's the top.
I know you saw Hamilton.
I have seen Hamilton.
Was it amazing?
It is incredible.
Okay.
It's everything people say it is.
Right.
And more.
Because I feel like I know what I should see that will be good, but I haven't gotten to do it yet. I've just been...
Fun Home is my number one thing I want to see.
I've just been working a lot lately. Because,
it's hard to get tickets, too.
Yeah. I really need to. This has inspired me. You've done it.
Yay.
You did the thing.
Good.
I have to. I'm desperate to see a show.
That was the thing when we went to the Hamilton opening night was, you know, I have all these questions, all these big life questions about what I'm doing as an artist and how to do it. And then I see a show like that. I'm just like, I can't not do this.
Right.
This right. is the most inspiring, moving thing I've ever seen. I want to do that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
That's amazing. I mean, that's what it should be. And I mean, it's far better than the alternative when you go, how did this, who let this happen?
But then the next minute you're like, right. I need to be practical and I need to.
Right, right.
So it's an ongoing question.
Yeah, but it is a joy. Like, even when you get the audition for something good and you're working on it and you remember how much fun it would be to be in that room for a month and work on it more.
And those words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is why that last one was so hard for me to let go, because I was like, this is the best. This is the best.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. I don't think I've still let it go. Now, having talked about it again, I'm like, God, it's still in there. I thought I was all right, but.
Well, the next place it does that play.
Right.
You better know. Well, thank you so much.
That's my pleasure. I hope it was.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I hope we didn't go to the dark side.
No. All right. Every one of these conversations is very helpful to me.
Yeah, and so. Me. I'm going to go see some theater now.
Good.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Compass Podcast. I'm Leah Walsh. More episodes are coming soon. Please look for us on Facebook and iTunes. I'd like to thank the following people for their generosity. The Compass cover art is by Kim Miller, music by Brendan Spieth. Audio assistance from Nick Choksi, and a special thanks to Frankie J. Alvarez. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Compass Podcast. I'm Leah Walsh. More episodes are coming soon. Please look for us on Facebook and iTunes. I'd like to thank the following people for their generosity. The Compass cover art is by Kim Miller, music by Brendan Spieth, audio assistance from Nick Choksi, and a special thanks to Frankie J. Alvarez. See you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.